When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Once again, it's a good day to be a knight. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you may be listening. This is The Knight Shift, your destination for all things Marion University football. I'm your host, Braden Kidd. We have a very exciting show for you here today. Your Knights knocked off the Crusaders of Madonna in a big way last Saturday, a 51-point victory with a final score of 58-7. Yes, unfortunately, Madonna scored their very first touchdown of all time against Marion last Saturday, but that's okay. We're going to break down all the action from that game as well as the keys to this week's matchup as your Knights travel up I-69 to Upland, Indiana to take on the Trojans of Taylor University, who are currently receiving votes in the NAIA coaches poll. So it'll be an interesting one this Saturday. We also have a very special guest coming on the show today, so we'll get to hear a little bit from him about this past weekend's win and what's to come. And we'll cap it all off today with the academic portion of the podcast as I address some of the theories of communication that we use today. That's everything I have in store for you all today on the show. So without further ado, let's get right into it. The Knights are currently 4-1. As I mentioned last week, their only loss came against the University of Indianapolis, a Division II opponent who is currently ranked number 16 in the country as of this week. The Knights moved up to number 12 in the NAIA polls after absolutely mauling Madonna last Saturday. 58-7, the final score there. And, you know, this is exactly what I talk about every time a team that I am covering faces a team that is not that great. If you go out and you beat a team like Madonna by a touchdown or a field goal, that is not a good look for you in terms of trying to ascend in the NAIA polls. Marion did the exact opposite of that. They went out and put on an absolute clinic. They put a beating on a team that they should destroy every single time. And as a result of that, they move up two spots in the polls from number 14 to number 12 this week. That is exactly what I am talking about. Now, this is my time to come down to earth a little bit. I gave you all a very lofty prediction last week on the show. I made a promise to you all, and I'm here to uphold that promise. I told you all that I believed Marion's defense would hold Madonna to under 30 rushing yards. You know what Madonna said to me? Kwame Miller, 70-yard touchdown, down your throat. Madonna ran for 156 yards in this game, and I predicted under 30. This is me, Braden Kidd, your host of The Knight Shift, eating my words. Now, was I wrong in that prediction? Yes. Was I very wrong in that prediction? Absolutely yes. Am I going to stop making predictions like this about other programs that are beneath the Marion University Knights? Absolutely not. You know, one of my old coaches once said something to an old teammate of mine. You want to know what that was? He screamed at the kid. Well, I was maybe 10 feet away. And I watch this whole thing go down. He goes up to this kid, screams at him, "If you want me to pay attention to you, then don't suck." Now, he said this with a few vulgar words in there that I prefer not to use on here. I mean, I could use them. This is a podcast. It's not FM airwaves. But, you know, in the best interest of the university's image, I prefer not to talk like that on here. Moral of the story: respect is earned on the Knight Shift, not given. If you want me to respect your program, give me a reason. I tend to be a pretty fair guy. Until then, I don't want to hear it. Marion Knights, 58 points down your throat. See you next year. That just about covers the rushing performance. by Madonna. You know what I didn't make a lofty prediction about? Madonna's passing yardage. I mentioned on last week's show how that Madonna doesn't necessarily have a definitive starting quarterback. Their passing game is really, really bad. What I didn't expect was 3 total passing yards on the game. Please allow me to draw some comparisons real quick. Madonna had 3 passing yards last Saturday. Some other things that have happened 3 or more times. Taylor Swift has more re-recorded albums than Madonna had passing yards last Saturday. The U.S. government has shut down 4 times since 2013. That is one more than the number of passing yards Madonna had on Saturday. SpaceX has launched 5 space missions since 2020. That is 2 more than Madonna had passing yards on Saturday. In the last 5 years, Kanye West has issued the same amount of public apologies as Madonna had passing yards on Saturday. Drake, since the year 2011, has released 6 studio albums, double the amount of passing yards that Madonna had on Saturday. The Cleveland Browns have changed head coaches 5 times since 2018, 2 more times than Madonna had passing yards on Saturday. Justin Tucker has made 4 60-plus yard field goals in his career, 1 more than Madonna had passing yards on Saturday. I think you get the picture. Moral of the story, this passing attack from Madonna was abysmal. It was zero threat. It was sad. It's sad looking at the stats. It was sad to watch. 24 passing attempts, and you muster up 3 yards. They had 10 completions across 3 different quarterbacks. They got 3 yards out of it. They had 2 interceptions on the game. It's not good if we can formulate a statistic of passing yardage to interception ratio. The topic is supposed to be touchdown to interception ratio. That's not what we're looking at in this case scenario. It was a sorry performance by Madonna's passing attack, and your Knights made them look foolish. I'll digress from my Madonna slander, though. Let's talk about some things that Marion did exceptionally well at last Saturday. Madonna was blitzing like crazy in this game. And we talked last week about teams with nothing to lose and how they're just going to try to ruin someone else's season. And as they should, it's what they thrive on. I respect that. Well, Madonna was trying to catch us off guard and do just that. But do you want to know what happens when you blitz? You allow the field to be opened up. That is exactly why our running back, Keegan LaBelle, was able to catch some checkdown passes and have 3 receptions for 44 yards and a touchdown. There was nothing too special done by Marion in this game. It was just methodical, in-your-face style offense, just picking Madonna's defense apart and wearing them out. And Madonna was never able to stop it. 8 touchdowns from Marion in this game. 4 on the ground, 4 through the air. 236 yards on the ground, 304 through the air. 540 total yards of offense from the Knights. Now that is how you shut down a home crowd as a visiting opponent. 998 people in attendance for this game, and they had not a thing to cheer about for 4 quarters of football. You don't like it? Well, that's just too bad. When we come back, we're going to welcome a very special guest into the studio, and he will give us some insight on the success from last weekend in Michigan and the preparations for the Taylor University matchup this weekend. We'll be right back on the Night Shift. We now welcome into the studio your starting running back for your Marion Knights, Mr. Keegan LaBelle. Keegan, welcome to the night shift. Thank you for being here. How you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Wonderful. You guys had a big victory on Saturday, much like I expected. I did make a lofty prediction last week that you guys were going to hold them under 30 rushing yards.
Yeah.
Because their rushing attack has tended to not be too strong, but first play from scrimmage for them, they do what they did.
Yep.
So I had to eat my words at the beginning of the show because I promised that to the listeners. But you know, it was the only time they scored all game. First time they scored a touchdown against you guys all time. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
That's crazy. But yeah, going into this weekend, there was the first matchup between you guys. There were some unkept stats from the first matchup ever. The stats weren't published. So I don't know what went on there. But of the three games between you guys that you had stats published, you guys gave up a field goal.
Wow.
Across three games.
That's incredible.
Two shutouts where you guys dropped like 80 or more on them.
Yeah.
And then the other one was like 60-something to 3, I want to say.
Yep.
So, yeah. So continued that legacy for sure.
For sure.
But you personally had a lot of success on the ground this game. Maybe not as much as you were expecting, but it was efficient. 70 yards, two touchdowns on the ground. You did have a touchdown through the air as well. 44 receiving yards. Like I said, 70 yards on the ground, 6.4 a carry. That's always going to win you games.
Yep.
So it's easy for me to sit here in the studio and pick apart the poor nature of Madonna's defense, but what were you seeing in the midst of all of it that allowed you to have that success?
Yeah, really. I mean, they were just doing a lot of crazy stuff. They were bringing more blitzes on a lot of the downs, and usually teams that we play often bring blitzes more on third downs, but they were trying to get it on every down. Like, they would blitz on first down and stuff like that. That opened up the pass game for me, going out in my check downs, and the linebackers not being there, him being able to check it down to me or into the flat, that helped in the pass game. The run game, man, just every week, the O-line does a great job just getting me where I need to go. They create space and holes for me to do what I get to do and open space.
Yeah, I was talking to Tristan last week a bit about this matchup, and you know, Madonna's a team. They got nothing to lose. They're out there to ruin somebody's year.
Yep.
Ideally, and you know, that's kind of what you expect out of a team like that. Just
for sure.
Expect the unexpected.
Exactly.
They're just going to do crazy stuff, try to throw you off. And obviously, you guys handled that well. A 58-7 win. Nice 58 or 51 point win. So, you guys from that, and I always talk about when you're facing a team that's not that strong, you got to do what you got to do. You can't go out and win by just a touchdown. You got to do exactly what you guys did. You got to go up, win by 50-plus points, make a statement.
For
and
sure.
That's how you find success in the polls. And that proved to be true. You guys jumped another two spots. You're now number 12 in the polls. Your guys' only loss was a Division II opponent who's ranked in D2 in their own right. And you guys have four straight wins since then. What's the energy in the locker room right now?
Yeah, I mean, the energy right now is pretty up-tempo, man. We don't want to look too far ahead, obviously. We go game by game. You know, every week is a different opponent, so that's somebody you got to study for and different things that they're going to bring at you. So really just not getting big, trying to not get big heads and staying where we need to be. That's going to help us go as far as we want to go. And I just keep telling everybody, man, just keep your heads on straight and do the right thing on and off the field and at practice, man, give it your all.
Absolutely. And on that note of going game by game, this Saturday, you got a date with Taylor University, a team that's substantially improved over the past couple of years. I remember my freshman year back in the 22 season, they were not what they are now. These guys this year, and mind you, they have not been facing scrub teams. They're averaging 472 yards of offense a game. They've put up 45 points a game on average. Little skewed by their game against Judson, but nonetheless, they've faced three teams, two of which are now into the top 25 as of this week. They faced Olivet Nazarene, now ranked 24 as of this week. Faced St. Francis, Illinois, can always be a pesky team. And they had St. Francis, Indiana, who is now 25. These guys are also receiving votes in their own right. They have a fair share of weaknesses, though. Their pass defense has been less than ideal. They're giving up 300 a game, something I expect that this team to take advantage of. But there's a lot to look at here overall. But what has your guys' focus been this week in terms of what it's going to take to come away with a victory this Saturday?
Yeah, really, man. Our focus this week has just been, I mean, doing what we know we can do. They run a very simple defense. They don't do a whole lot. They're really good at what they do. They're very solid, staying to their keys and what they've been taught. But they really don't do as much as you'd think they do. On pass downs, they're really in the same coverages most of the game. On third downs, third and longs, and really throughout the game, they're all in the same coverages. They play a decent D-line. They got a four-man front, and really their edges are kind of soft, so we're trying to look for maybe getting more outside in run game, maybe going having a little few kind of new plays that we've brought in, trying to solo out the middle linebackers and making a cut off him and bringing one of our tackles through and pulling through to block him and I can make a cut off him. Just stuff like that, man. I mean, yeah, the pass game's going to be open. We've been playing that this whole week, and I'm excited to see what happens on Saturday.
Absolutely. And to your point about the D-line, you certainly personally exploited them last year. Last year's game against them, you went for 263 on the ground and 3 touchdowns in that game, which is insane. You just don't see that in NAIA ball. You might see that out of, you know, the old Jonathan Taylor at the University of Wisconsin and Ashton Gentry when he was in college, but you just don't see that in NAIA ball. But regardless of that, last year, your game with these guys was, I would have to imagine, much closer than you guys probably would have liked. It was a 35-34 victory, went into overtime. You guys scored the first touchdown. Taylor followed it up with a touchdown, tried to win the game with a 2-point conversion, but failed to do so. There's a lot of returning guys from both of these teams, from you guys and them. How have you guys prepared differently in comparison to last year to try to prevent it from coming down to the wire like that?
Yeah, I mean, as a team, I think we're a lot stronger as a group. Last year we had a lot of pieces that weren't, like, connected together. And this year, like, as a team, we have more brotherhood in the locker room. And we prepare differently just by, you know, loving each other out on the field and, like, having fun out there too. Because a lot of time people get sucked up in the thing where it's like, oh, you can't have fun at practice, whatever. But, you know, you want to have fun at practice. That's what bonds the team together. And I think this year what we're striving for, and me and Tristan for sure, is just, like, being together and having fun and doing this. This is something you love, you know? So you don't want to be out there just dreading it every day. So you just, like, we say it a lot. We say we embrace the suck, you know? Sometimes, you know, practice sucks sometimes. So you embrace it, move on, man, and just get better as you go on.
Well, you're talking about that love you have for this squad and the love that is just naturally instilled in the culture, which is going to bring me, it's actually a great segue into, I don't know if you've listened, but I have a segment in all of my interviews called the Night Shift Extra Point Question, where I just asked you, and for your case, you've been here since the very beginning of your college career. You've spent a lot of time here. You've been the lead rusher for quite a few years now for this team. You've been around for those highs. You've been around for quite a few lows. But through it all, what has it just meant to you to be a part of this team and to be a Knight?
Yeah, it means a lot, man. I mean, coming in here as a freshman, you know, there's a different coaching staff and whatnot. They were a little harder on us. These coaches are a little more lenient, but, I mean, they still give it to you, you know. But just being here and making friendships with the guys that I was with as a freshman and now them being seniors with me now, that bond that you create with them is just insane. You know, you get a lot of schools where people transfer, but the group that I came in with is pretty much solid, and they're still here with me today. And I think that's a big part of why we're in the right direction of where we're going this year, is just being all together and, you know, coming true to, you know, you don't have to transfer and be great. You know, every part of the team, you're a part of the team no matter what. It doesn't matter if you're on scout team or anything else, you know, special teams. Maybe that's all you play. You know, every point in the team matters. You know, that's all that matters.
Yeah, and, you know, to your point, that's something I've always noticed about not just your program, the football program, but just the school in general. People don't leave here very often. It's, yep. it's just all around in the athletic department, just one of the better cultures that I've seen, not just the NAIA, but just in the country. And I noticed it. My listeners know by now that I'm a transfer in from St. Francis, Illinois. I saw it from an outsider's perspective. Just every sport that I covered from you guys from a journalistic standpoint, it was just nothing but positivity. It's just a big family vibe, which was something that it sounds crazy. I didn't know existed coming from where I come from, right. You know, hearing coaches, and not to throw anyone under the bus, we won't name drop, just hearing coaches like cussing their players out, like, which, hey, I'm not knocking that. Sometimes it's necessary.
Right.
Sometimes you need that bit of tough love, but, you know, every day, you know, at some point it gets to a point.
For sure.
I can leave
for
it there.
Sure.
But Keegan, thank you so much for joining me on the night shift. It's been a pleasure. This was great. Coming up next, we're going to get into that Taylor matchup, discuss some of the keys to that matchup, as your Marion Knights are going to travel up I-69 up to Upland, Indiana to go take on the Trojans. Keegan, thank you for joining us. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
This Saturday, the Knights travel just over an hour northeast to Upland, Indiana to take on the Taylor University Trojans. The Trojans are currently sitting with a 3-2 record, their losses coming against the now number 24 ranked Olivet Nazarene and the now number 25 ranked St. Francis, Indiana. Their wins coming against St. Francis, Illinois, Kentucky Christian, and Judson. The Trojans are currently receiving votes in the NAIA polls but have not quite yet broken into the top 25. In terms of the all-time series between these two programs, the Knights are 17-1 against the Trojans and have not been defeated by them since Halloween back in 2009. Yes, many of these players were probably just learning the alphabet the last time the Knights were defeated by the Trojans. The Knights currently have a 15-game win streak against the Trojans and have never lost in an away game in Upland, Indiana. Their only loss to the Trojans came right here in Indianapolis. All of this aside, this is a much better Trojans program than what we have seen in recent years. The Trojans' losses to these ranked opponents have been some nail-biting finishes. The loss to ONU in overtime back in week one, a 48-42 loss that came down to the wire. Their loss last week to St. Francis, Indiana, only a two-possession game, not a blowout by any means. This team is gritty, and the Knights are yet again going to have to make sure they just play Marion football. But let's pick apart this Trojans team a little bit. Offensively, they have had no trouble at all. They're putting up 45 points per game, averaging 472 yards of offense per game, 288 on the ground, 184 through the air. The line of scrimmage for Marion's defense, it's going to have to be attacked. The Marion D line needs to come ready to stop this rushing attack of the Trojans. Sophomore running back for Taylor, Nathan Parker, has truly come into his own this season, and it is astounding what this kid has accomplished in just 5 games. So far this season, he is the leading rusher for the Trojans with 693 yards, 138 per game, and he has 12 touchdowns across just these 5 games. And not to mention, that comes out to an average of 7.2 yards per carry. This is some insane stuff that we're seeing out of this kid so far this season. The Marion D-line and linebackers are going to have to come ready for this one because they are going to be facing off against a monster on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Isaiah Street, Luke Swartz, PJ Huff, Jaden Scruggs, Cade Houseman, Deion Pettiford, Wyatt Waddell, just to name a few, these guys need to come ready. I cannot emphasize it enough. These Trojans have a lot of guys on their O-line that are well over 6 foot, right around 300 pounds. It is going to be nasty. And it's going to be tiring for this Marion defense, for sure. But they need to be ready. They have got to fight against this run game because nobody has really stopped it against Taylor so far this season. Something I would love to see out of Marion that I'm not sure we're going to get as fans is time of possession. We're looking at a Trojan offense that is going to make our defense tired. I would love to see our guys on the D-line and everyone on our defense, for that matter, just be able to get a breather. This Trojan defense, it's not that good. This game is poised to be a high-scoring affair, but I would really like to see the Knights dominate time of possession in this game. If the Trojans' defense can't stop you, then slow down a little bit. Make it a slow and methodical picking apart of their defense. Again, I'm not sure we're going to get that. I got a feeling we're going to see a lot of explosive plays, but in a perfect world, that's what I'd be looking for. And I want to quickly note an aspect of the game that I've yet to talk about on this show, and that's the crowd. The Trojans draw huge crowds for their home games. Last week, in their matchup with St. Francis, Indiana, that game had an attendance of 5,276. You do not see that in NAIA football. Granted, that was their homecoming week. But even in their other home games, they are bringing in thousands of fans to these games. So that brings me to you, Marion football fans. I would like to ask something of you. If you are free this Saturday, head up I-69 for the hour and 20-minute drive. Go watch some Marion football. Make sure we have some fans in the stands up there because I do think the crowd is going to play a major factor. It's a special start time of 7 p.m. Eastern this Saturday in Upland, Indiana, so be sure to go on out. You might get home a little late, but then, hey, you got all Sunday to sleep in. When we come back, we're going to talk about the communication theories used throughout the show. We'll be right back. The first theory of communication we're going to discuss this week is the narrative paradigm theory, coined by Walter Fisher in 1984. In his article, Narration as a Human Communication Paradigm, The Case of Public Moral Argument. In this article, Fisher discusses how, quote, the logic of good reasons maintains that reasoning need not be bound to argumentative prose or be expressed in clear-cut, inferential, or implicative structures. Within this theory, Fisher uses the word narration to, quote, refer to a theory of symbolic actions, words, and or deeds that have sequence and meaning for those who live, create, and interpret them. The narrative perspective, therefore, has relevance to real as well as fictive worlds, to stories of living, and to stories of the imagination. This podcast uses personal narratives through first-person testimonies from the players through the interviews that I conduct every week. These interviews help shape the stories that I present to you all as listeners every single week. The second theory I'm going to be discussing with you all this week is the uses and gratification theory, which was coined by three publishers back in the 1970s, Elihu Katz, J.G. Blumler, and Michael Gurevich. However, the theory's origins trace back to the 40s and 50s as well, when Herta Herzog and others first studied why audiences actively choose certain media to satisfy their specific needs. University of Texas El Paso communications professor Thomas E. Ruggiero examines this theory's applications in the 21st century in his article, Uses and Gratification Theory in the 21st Century. Ruggiero states how, quote, the deregulation of the communications industry and the convergence of mass media and digital technology have altered the exposure patterns of many media consumers. I'm now able to sit behind this desk that I'm currently at right now, pre-record this episode of The Night Shift, edit it, and then put it out on multiple platforms for you listeners to stream from anywhere. Taking note of this is important because for the longest time, the uses and gratification theory actually fell out of favor among academic scholars, according to Ruggiero. Ruggiero notes Stanford's take on the theory that, quote, the discussion ranges far from the results, which do not support their theoretical underpinnings. Once again, this shows just how much technological advancements have revived the uses and gratification theory because in contemporary society, there are more potential media outlets for us to consume than we can even keep track of. What does this tell us? It tells us that you are consuming this episode of The Night Shift because you, as a Marion football fan, internally identify with this team's success and the stories we hear from the players. You gain analysis, statistics, and keys to upcoming matchups each time you tune in every week. And by putting my own particular spin on all of this information, I am aiming to satisfy your need for Marion sports journalism. And that is all we have today for this episode of The Night Shift. As always, be sure to follow my Instagram page at braden.kidd04 to be notified every time a new episode is released. All episodes are uploaded on my Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music, or wherever you stream podcasts. If you listen to podcasts there, my show's probably on there. It should be a thrilling game this Saturday over in Upland, Indiana. We have a special start time. Special start time. I repeat, special start time. Don't tune in the afternoon. It's a special start time of 7 p.m. Eastern, so be sure to tune in or head on over and watch it in person. You can find the link to tune in to the game at munights.com/sports/football/schedule. Go ahead and scroll down to the Marion versus Taylor game. Click on that link that says watch, and you'll be good to go. It's your number 12 ranked Marion Knights against the Taylor Trojans. This is Braden Kidd clocking out from the night shift. We'll see you next week.